This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better.
Yeah.
Welcome inside the VSIN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi in person once again, buddy.
It's a great day to be from the state of New Jersey, too, by the way.
It is.
I mean, look, we're dominating the basketball world. Princeton, have you ever been to Princeton?
I have never been to Princeton. They didn't, for some reason, didn't want my transcript.
Yeah, well, I didn't want mine either. They just let me visit. They just let me move around. Wonderful place, Farley Dickinson, you know, in Madison, New Jersey. I mean, we're rolling it out here.
It's been fantastic seeing Jersey dominate. I mean, Jersey was the story last year with St. Peter's and everything, and now here we are with FDU and Princeton getting it done.
As I told Elliot, our producer, a Missouri fan, a Missouri graduate, now, they didn't beat Missouri. They kicked their butt. Like, it wasn't a close game. If you watch that game, like, you're saying, like, wait a minute. Who beat, like
who's the 7th seed and who's the 15th?
Exactly. Like, it was impressive. It was impressive. I mean, so that was a fun day of college hoops. We're going to get this over again today. This is what makes the tournament so good. Yeah. You know, last night I was here at the Circa, and as I was coming in, we were having dinner down at Barry's, and just at that moment, we're at the UCLA game, Northwestern. You could just feel the, there's nothing like a sports book. March Madness weekend. There's nothing like it. It's incredible.
The energy is electric here.
It's so
you go to
good.
A good book, and like obviously the setup here at Circa is fantastic.
Unbelievable.
It's fantastic. If you've never been, we recommend coming out here to watch a game because it's unbelievable stuff. But we're going to have a lot of fun over these next 2 hours talking all things March Madness. Make sure to tweet at the show, at VSIN Live on Twitter, at M Lombardi NFL is where you can find Michael, at Femi Abebefe is where you can find me. Coming up, Ryan Wing, sports director at Fox 11 in Green Bay, will join us in 30 minutes talking all things Green Bay Packers. What's the team going to look like going forward with the Jordan Love era on the horizon? Danielle Alvari, VSIN betting analyst in studio. 60 minutes from now, her UCLA Bruins, Michael was mentioning them, they survived against Northwestern last night. We'll get her thoughts on their prospects going forward and what she likes today in men's and women's tournament because Danielle's been capping both of them. Adam Burke, VSIN betting analyst and college basketball betting podcast member, checks in at 8:15 Pacific time, going over all things March Madness as we wrap up the weekend with 8 more games. And then Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook director over at the Borgata, will join us at 8:30, 11:30 Eastern. TG, as sharp as they come, like we always say with the college hoops, we'll get his thoughts on what's going on behind the counter in Atlantic City. But Michael, we got to start with your buddy.
Yeah,
we talked about it yesterday on the podcast. On the show. I said I liked Arkansas on the money line. We said the must bust is going to start rolling into Las Vegas. Oh. They get it done, taking down the defending national champion, Kansas Jayhawks.
Wow, that was a game. I mean, there was a lot of times you just wanted to quit that game, right? I mean, I was feeling sorry for them. I wasn't, you know, it was back and forth, and what a great time. I think this is Eric's third season here at Arkansas, or fourth. I think it's his third. Mm-hmm. Every time he's gotten to the Sweet 16, and this team was unlike any of his teams so far because they hadn't played well during the regular season, but they got that second half together, and Davis, the way he played and the way he controlled it at the game, you know, in the game, and he was able to get the points that he needed, kind of get their offense, because they've always struggled offensively.
Yeah.
But yesterday, defensively, they made shots down the stretch. Look, they're as talented as anybody. I think he puts it well. We're going to have him on the show tomorrow, but he puts it really well. We could beat anybody, and we can lose to anybody. I think that's pretty right, don't you?
I think it's 100% right, and I was so glad that the broadcast brought that up because that was honestly my handicap for the entire game. I kind of liken this Arkansas team to what we saw last year with North Carolina going in as an 8 seed, kind of just Jekyll and Hyde kind of season, but when they play their best basketball, they're as talented as anybody in the country. Arkansas, they got so many dudes. You can see instantly, like, oh, they're not overmatched in this game.
No.
But like, as long as they just do the smart things and take care of the basketball, which at times they didn't do. At times, like we talked about it, I didn't know whether to yell or laugh at my TV watching the game, but they did the necessary plays, especially in that second half, though, to get the thing done. And I think this Arkansas team, they can make a run. I get that they have UConn in their bracket, UCLA, Gonzaga, St. Mary's. These teams are good teams, but Arkansas is just as talented, if not more talented.
And they're long, they're athletic. And Ricky Council, to me, yesterday was really impressive. Down the stretch, he wanted the ball. Yep. Like, you know, there's the I know they have all these guys, they say they're five stars and all that, right? But at the end of the day, who wants to make the play that you need to win the game? And Council looked like he's like, guys, get out of the way. I'm going to make the play. And the kid to me that's the unsung hero of their team is Jordan Walsh. Because he comes and does all the things you need to do to help your team win. Rebound, he's got length. No, they're good. I think the UCLA comparison's really going to be good. It'll be interesting to see the UConn game today, St. Mary's, how that shakes out. You know, those two are going to battle, a 4-5 seed going to battle it out today. And then that's who Arkansas gets here at the T-Mobile Center, right?
Yep, it'll be at the T-Mobile here in Las Vegas coming up on Thursday. Well, you mentioned Walsh. I was watching him yesterday. That kid's going to be in the NBA. He defends way too good. Like, he's so good defensively.
And he's long, his hands, too. Yeah. Lang, when I saw him standing next to Muss, like, I know Muss. I've been with Muss. I hung out, you know, so I know how tall Muss is. Mm-hmm. That kid's got a lot of length. I mean, they all do. Nick Smith's got incredible length, the long arms. So, yeah, I mean, but there's moments during their game where they just don't feel like they're in a rhythm offensively. And Davis kind of got them going yesterday. I thought he did a really good job. Sometimes Anthony Black doesn't get him into their offense. I thought Devontae Davis did a really good job of that.
Yeah, Devo Davis, shout out to him. He was emotional after the game as well. You can see how much it means to them. He said, and I thought he put it well, he's like, we've struggled all throughout this season, but we're starting to kind of get it right now, and let's hopefully we can keep this thing going forward into the Sweet 16 and maybe beyond that. Your boy, Muss. He had the shirt off and everything.
He always takes the shirt off.
The locker room celebration was awesome.
He works out. I mean, you got to give the guy credit. He works out every day. Like, he's a diehard workout guy now.
He's in late 50s and he looks great. Yeah, he looks so fantastic. Good. Do we have the clip of Muss in the locker room? I don't know if we have the locker room celebration going on, because that I thought was fun to see those guys. They were throwing the fruit around and all that stuff.
I mean, I love the AD in the background. Did he just step into it or what? I mean, that AD, Hunter, I remember calling him on the phone and like, you got to hire Muss. You got to hire this guy, you know, he's at Reno, and it's interesting, you know, and there's always this uncertainty about, you know, when you try to hire, like, the guys, like Barkley said on the air, the guy is a great, great coach.
Yep.
And, you know, and Barkley's got Bruce Pearl, who's never made an adjustment yet, as you said, you know, and so you could just see Sir Charles. By the way, Charles looks great, doesn't he?
He does look good.
He really does. He cut it back.
Yeah, Charles is doing fantastic there. But yeah, the clip of Muss in the locker room and the players, it's just outstanding. I don't know if we have that not, or if we can pull that thing up, but heck of a performance for the Arkansas Razorbacks as they now shake up that region and now head to the Sweet 16. We also saw the region get shaken up a little bit. I think a lot of people were surprised by this result. I wasn't really surprised, just because I think Duke has come out of a weak conference. But Tennessee, how about the performance that they had, beating the Blue Devils 65-52? This was a hard-nosed, rough-and-tumble basketball game, just like Rick Barnes wanted.
Yeah, I mean, the big fella gets two stupid fouls early in the game. I'm like, what are we doing? So he sits down. But they just – and that run they made at the end of the first half – to get the lead, and then there was no turning back. They took this and they basically made this game on the ropes. They were not going to let them dance, you know, and Duke didn't match the physicality. I thought the guys on the broadcast said it really well. This Tennessee team's got age to it, right? You know, and so all these young teams that are not used to it, this is where I think Muss's team, they're so young that the losses have helped them gain experience. Like, this is what Tennessee, I think to win this thing, I think it's hard to not have a lot of experience in terms of the physicality of what it takes to play at a physical level. And I thought Tennessee was incredible yesterday. They really were. I mean, they just took it to them, and they got control. They got the lead, and they had control of the game. There's no doubt.
Yeah, good for Rick Barnes, too, because I know he takes a lot of flack this time of the year, every single season, of Rick Barnes in March. His teams don't win in March, and good to see him get to the Sweet 16 when not many people thought that he would do that, especially with this red-hot Duke team being in that five spot in the region there.
Yeah, you know, and when they need to make a basket, they got guy, whether it's Vescovi, they got guys that make plays. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're really good, and they're experienced, and they're physically. You know, it's funny when you know, from scouting my whole career, you look at guys' bodies, right? And you see who's been in the weight room, who's been really hitting it. And that Tennessee team now, they got guys that have lift weights, they work hard, they're physical, and they use their bodies. And then you look at some of the teams that just haven't had that body development that you need to be physical. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to talk about being physical. It's another thing to be physical.
Yeah. They've been clanging and banging in the weight room. And then Duke, they were young guys. So
yeah, it's hard. I guess
it's hard.
There's not enough time to really – you don't realize. You know, when you're a freshman, you think it's going to be easy. And then all of a sudden you start playing against 23-year-olds or 22, and you're only 18. It's harder to adjust to.
You mentioned our guy – Elliot Bowman, our producer, Mizzou grad. They lose to Princeton. A 15 seed wins that game, 78-63. That's now the third straight year, Michael, that we've seen a 15 seed the Sweet 16.
It's unbelievable.
And I think it goes to show you with the tournament, this year especially, that because we don't have a great team and there's so much parity in college basketball, any outcome is on the table. Like, I mean, I'm not saying that Fairleigh Dickinson's going to go win the title, but we shouldn't be surprised by this now that it's a third consecutive year that we've now seen a 15 seed. Prior to 3 years ago, it only happened once since 2021. Like that's how crazy college basketball has become.
How about if you're a Yale Bulldog fan, Thurston Howell's team? You know, I mean, there they are. They beat them. They beat them twice. I mean, I'm watching Princeton, and I like how many teams in the Ivy beat this team? I'm watching the game, and I'm thinking, how many teams beat Princeton? And I look, they lost 8 games. Now, I know they lost 2 games to start the season, Hofstra and Navy, but, you know, that's kind of – you don't know what your team is, but my Lord, are they good. They could – Missouri could not stay in front of them. Dribble penetration killed them the whole day.
Yeah, no, Princeton, they run really good stuff. We saw that against Arizona. They were methodical. They executed. And then against a team like Missouri where they don't really defend that well, you knew that they were going to pick them apart there. I kind of regret not taking the points with Princeton and maybe splashing a little bit on the money line. And as we head to break, that is the video. Of the Arkansas Razorbacks. Must
put his shirt back on for it.
He did put the shirt back. Well, you don't want to get hypothermia in the locker room there. We'll break down the big trade in the NFL that just broke about 20 minutes ago. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way. VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round, so check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi. We're hanging out here in downtown Las Vegas at the Circa Resort and Casino. Coming up in 15 minutes, Ryan Wing, sports director at Fox 11 in Green Bay, will join the show to talk all things Green Bay Packers.
He hasn't been too busy, has he?
No, I don't think so. I'm a good buddy with him. We go all the way back to when we worked in Bend, Oregon together. And I always text him every offseason. I'm like, you having fun covering this Rodgers stuff? Every year. I think he, like the front office, he is done. Rodgers. We'll get his thoughts on it, though, coming up here shortly. But, Michael, we did see some breaking news in the NFL this morning. Houston Texans busy over there in Houston. It's just, 9 o'clock over there? They made 2 moves, the biggest one being, though, sending veteran wide receiver Brandon Cooks to the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys giving up a 5th-round pick this year and a 6th-round pick next year. Cook has that $18 million guaranteed on his salary for this season. But what do you make of this move with Dallas getting a vertical threat in that wide receiver room now?
Well, I mean, look, they've been trying to trade him. I mean, they did a contract last April, and they gave him almost $40 million for 2 years, an extension. I mean, this is Davante Adams numbers. I mean, think about that, right? I mean, they gave him a deal. Nick Cesario gave him a huge contract, and that $18 million is guaranteed. So he's been trying to trade him. It's hard to do, but he was going to be in one of our segments for the GM Shuffle tomorrow about who wants him.
Yeah.
And obviously, he's going to pay some of this $18 million salary. And yeah, is he a good player? For the Cowboys, he's the perfect player because he's a one-year guy. And what Jerry can do is, because if, say, the Texans pay, they were talking about paying 4 to 6. I think they're going to have to pay 8. Mm-hmm. So let's say they paid $8 million. So Jerry gets him on he has to pay $10 million. So for 1 year, he pays $10 million. he gives it to him in a signing bonus so he could spread it out, lower his cap number, and then move on. And it's just basically a kind of an easy deal for the Cowboys to do. Gives him another receiver to go outside to play along with, Michael Gallup. You know, we get CeeDee Lamb in the slot.
Yep.
Look, the one thing about Cooks is he's so undersized. He's not big. He's not a big man. He gets hurt too much, but he can still run well, and he makes plays down the field. And I think, obviously, he wanted to be traded after last year. And this, to me, this Texan team, I struggle to wonder what direction they're going in. They got Case Keenum. They got Davis Mills. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what the plan is down there. You know, I mean, I've worked with Nick, so I kind of feel like there should be a plan, but I don't see one.
Yeah, it's interesting because Cooks, this goes back to the trade deadline last year. He voiced frustration of wanting to be traded. I think he wanted to be traded to Dallas. The Cowboys and the Texans were having those conversations, and I think the compensation, they couldn't come to an agreement. Nothing happened there. And then I think you saw Cooks tweet out like a cryptic tweet shortly after the trade deadline passed, being like, hey, like, what the hell's going on? Like, you know, like, I wanted out of here. And then obviously he was, I think, away from the team for about a week or so. It was really a kind of a messy situation down there in Houston. So I think this is a situation where both parties are like, all right, let's let bygones be bygones. You go your separate ways. We'll do what we're doing down here. I think for Dallas, though, and the domino that this kind of creates is that they're probably out of the Odell Beckham Jr. sweepstakes.
Yeah.
If you want to call it a sweepstakes.
I don't know if there is one.
They're out on that.
Like, who's in it? Like, I mean, nobody knows that, yes. You know, you watch the video, you can't really tell how good he is, what he's doing. You know, but this addition of Cooks gives them an outside guy. You know, they saw a little bit with T.Y. Hilton, helped them with down the stretch a little bit to go in there. They've re-signed Tyron Smith. They've kind of gotten some things working. You know, they got to make sure Pollard's healthy. They'll get another back. It won't be Zeke. They'll get another back. They brought Cooper Rush back to be the backup quarterback. They re-signed some of their defensive linemen. So, look, and the Gilmore deal, to me, is a significant one because with Gilmore goes along with Trayvon Diggs, I mean, that gives them a really good. Now, Anthony Brown, you know, he had been the weak link. He got hurt last year. Mm-hmm. So, with this pass rush that they have, look, the Cowboys are in good shape. I guess the question is, have they caught the Eagles? You know, I'm not sure the Eagles have made any progress. They lose both coordinators. They're really not prepared for where they're going. They're bringing back their older guys, not their younger guys, you know. And so they got some cap issues. Now, I know they have two number one picks, and they got Jalen Hurts in that offense. But I think people are going to have a better time understanding what they're doing offensively with an offseason.
Well, let's talk about it. The NFC East odds right now over at BetMGM, the Eagles are the favorites plus 110, Dallas plus 175, the Giants 5-1, Commanders 10-1. To start this conversation, I guess we got to kind of start from the top. Do you see this being a two-horse race, or do you think the Giants and the Commanders can join the mix as well?
No, but I think, to me, the Giants and Commanders should be a hell of a lot closer than what they are.
Okay.
The Commanders are 10-1, the Giants are 5-1. Now, I know the Commanders have Sam Howell, but the Commanders have a good team now. Look, their defense was really good last year. They got better. I expect them to be even better this year. They're going to improve on that. And, you know, they've done some things in their offensive line that helps them. You know, I'm not in love with Andrew Wiley, but he's better than what they've had. You know, so they've improved that. They've really took a determining factor to go after their offensive line and try to get that going. And I got to give them credit. They have. And they've got enough skill players. You know, they do have enough skill players. Now, they're going to have some changes in their coaching staff. But, you know, they've added Wiley. They're going to move Kazemi into guard. So they replaced Trey Turner. And, you know, they've added some different pieces to their team. And Bieniemy is going to run their offense. And we'll see how well that works and see what Sam Howell does. You know, they're going
to is it Howell or Brissett that they're going
to
play?
Well, I think they're committed to Howell, but okay. Brissett – you know, Brissett can come in and run it. Now, Brissett's not a classic West Coast offense quarterback. I mean, he's never been a rhythm thrower. He's never really been a rhythm thrower. They're going through some changes in the offensive line, too. You know, they fired Matzkel. This is a team that's in such transition. You know, I read a report. Well, you could tell by their contracts that they're going to sell the team. They've always done contracts in a unique way. So I think they're going to sell the team. I don't think there's any doubt about that. However, that being said, you know, they have to bring this all together. New offensive coordinator, new line coach, new quarterback. Those are hard things to do. But I don't see how there's that gap between Washington and New York. I really don't.
Gotcha. So, yeah, maybe it should be Giants maybe 5-1, Commanders plus 650 something.
Yeah, I would think it'd be. I would have them both. If I were setting the odds, I'd have both at 5-1. It's. I will say this: their win total. I would suspect their win total is within a half a game.
When they said it, wouldn't surprise me.
Because I think you have to put it right there. Because look, the Commanders had them. You know that drive that the Giants had at the end. That was the game that tied. Mm-hmm. You know, the Commanders should have won that game. The Commanders do some really strange things during games, but I don't think the Giants have improved themselves. I really don't. I mean, they brought Daniel Jones back. Really? Okay. I mean, all right. Tell me how we've gotten better. Like, where have we gotten better?
I mean, Giants fans tell you they got Darren Waller, you know, and adds him a legitimate pass catcher when healthy.
A talented player. Now, whether he plays or not, he's played 17 games in 2 years. He's had 5 touchdowns in 2 years. So, like, I get that. You know, he's really talented. There's mm-hmm. no denying his talent. His production is not there. He's 30 years old, and he hasn't really produced. Can he play well? Cole, all that, you know? We'll see when I think it's going to be a little bit of an issue, but we'll see. Look, he's got the skill level's there. I'm not disputing that.
So Philly at plus 110, they're seen alongside the Niners as like the two teams who are head and shoulders above the rest of the NFC. But you're a little skeptical on Philly even being head and shoulders above Dallas here. So
yeah.
If you had to bet on one of them, plus 175 with the Cowboys or plus 110 with the Eagles, where would you put your money?
I think I would put it on the Cowboys because I think it's hard to repeat. I think the Eagles are going through the same thing that a lot of teams do that get close. They're constantly saying to themselves, if we just bring everybody back, mm-hmm. we'll be okay. I'm not sure. Look, I love Rashard Penny. I think that's a great addition, but he can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know what Greedy Williams brings them. I don't know what he brought them.
Yeah, that was an interesting
move. You know, I mean, Marcus Mariota is the backup quarterback in the 6-back offense makes sense, but can he stay healthy? I'm not a Bradbury man-to-man fan. If I thought Fletcher Cox wasn't as good a player, you know, Kelsey gives them obviously a lot of help in there, but look, who they've lost. The number one, the guys they lost, Hargrave is significant.
It's a big time.
The two linebackers they lost were significant. Now they got Dean to come back and play there. You know, they can offset the running backs. That's not the issue. But to me, I think they lose Dillard, who only played 23 plays last year. And then they lose, they lose the starting right guard.
Well, also a name that's not on there for key losses is Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. If they don't bring him back, that's another hit to the secondary.
Right, and the guard... that they lost to Pittsburgh's not on that list either.
Yeah, Isaac Suamalo.
Suamalo,
The Eagles, they're not leaking oil necessarily, but they're just not really getting better. It's not like what last season was where, like, oh, my God, they're adding so many good players.
But last season you're coming off, like, 9 wins and you got that hunger.
Yeah.
This is like we were so close. We had a chance to win this thing. We didn't. There's a different mindset with your team like that.
And there's always that stat out there. No team since 2004 has repeated as NFC East champions.
That's right.
Opens things up for America's team, maybe.
There you go. Where's Dave Ross? He'll be right there with them.
Ryan Wing of Fox 11 in Green Bay joins us next to talk to Green Bay Packers.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get everything you need to bet the madness this year for only $19. Our team is here to get you ready for every game and every round of the tournament. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get unlimited access to our daily best bets and tools like our exclusive betting splits. Sign up today to get the betting guides plus full access to VSiN through the end of the tournament for only $19 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi hanging out here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. We'll talk some more NFL free agents coming up in the next segment. A little game of impact player or too much paper. That should be a lot of fun here, breaking down all the moves that we saw earlier this week. But joining us now is the sports director over at Fox 11 in Green Bay, Ryan Wing, to talk all things Green Bay Packers. Ryan, hope all is well with you. Let's just start off with the big thing with the Green Bay Packers right now, the Aaron Rodgers pending trade with the New York Jets. Buddy, when do you think this is going to happen, and how happy are you to finally get a resolution on this thing?
The limit does not exist for the last answer. Like, this thing is dragged on so long. When's it going to happen? I don't know. I'm ready to mute the word leverage on Twitter because that's all everyone is talking about is who has it. I think everyone is just ready for the Jordan Love era here to begin. Some people, some fans, obviously are a little bummed that Rodgers is gone, but I don't know. I think a decent amount of people got a little annoyed by the end of the Rodgers era a little bit.
What were they annoyed with mostly, Ryan? I mean, were they annoyed that what he said on Pat McAfee, or are they annoyed of this process that goes on? Or are they annoyed with, to me, are they annoyed with Mark Murphy, who has changed the dynamic of the Packers to a place that you have to go back before Lombardi arrived in 59? I mean, there's been no Packer president that has had the power and the clout that Mark Murphy controls in an organization that he did. And I think that when you listen to Rodgers, that anger or that push towards him was directed at Murphy.
Yeah, I think the fans that wanted Rodgers to stay are definitely mad at Murphy, because they're like, he's pushing this guy out. You've always heard Rodgers say they don't treat their guys well at the end. I don't think Rodgers and Goody, they said in the last couple of years their relationship got better. It seemed like maybe something kind of went back to how it was a couple of years ago at the end. I think the rest of the fans are just annoyed by how this became Brett Favre 2.0. And it just was like, yes or no, is it happening? Yeah, he didn't retire, unretire, but he almost did. He held out until the day before training camp. So I think fans just kind of got a little tired of his shtick a little bit.
We're speaking with Ryan Wink, sports director over at Fox 11 in Green Bay. You know, it's interesting because we were talking about this yesterday, but like, hey, what is there something that might have happened this past year to where Rodgers now wanted to leave the Packers organization? But I think at the end of the day, isn't it just that they invested a first-round pick in Jordan Love? They got to pick up the fifth-year option this offseason. They kind of have to see him play or trade him, one or the other. So this was always coming to a head here. Is that kind of how you read it?
100%. And I think they realized there was a huge difference in Jordan Love's play last year in the small opportunities that he got. When he came in against Eagles, he looked really good. He did not look good when he had to start for Rodgers 2 years ago when Rodgers had COVID in Kansas City. I think they realize now that Jordan Love has the opportunity and the possibility to be pretty good. They just didn't know that, I don't think, last year.
Ryan, tell us how this is all going to come to fruition. I mean, you know, you said earlier that you're tired of the word leverage. And everybody is on Twitter and on the World Wide Web, and the worldwide leader is giving discussions on who does have the leverage. But eventually this is going to come to an end. And so how do you see it ending? Do you see the Packers getting a first-round pick like they've asked every team for when it deals with Rodgers, or do you see them taking less?
I feel like I should be asking you that question, but I think what's going to happen is I don't think they're going to get a straight first. I think it's probably going to be like a second that has the compensatory to become a first, like depending on how much he plays. I kind of think that's what's going to happen, and maybe like Corey Davis thrown into the deal. I don't, because they have no veteran wide receivers right now on their team. Their receivers for next year are Samori Toure, Christian Watson, and Romeo Doubs. That's all on their roster.
Yeah, which is interesting, because look, I thought they redid Aaron Jones's deal to make sure that Jordan Love has enough skill guys around him. But
yeah,
to me, I think, and Femi and I have said this on the GM Shuffle, I'd love to hear what you think. All the heat now that Mr. Murphy has created is now on Matt LaFleur. I mean, how does LaFleur handle all this? He's got the worst place to be in any sports team is too young. He has a team that's really too young.
He does. I actually kind of think this is the team he wants to coach, because I always think kind of wanted to be a run the ball, defense first, which this team can be. Their defense should be pretty good. It was last year, obviously, when it mattered. They kind of struggled, excuse me. But I think he's going to like this team. I don't know if they're going to – I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I think it's going to be more of a team that he wants to run. Rodgers wasn't running his offense at the end. So I think, obviously, they got along great, but I think he's going to enjoy this team. They still have a pretty good line. Like Bakhtiari, when he finally gets a couple more years away from that knee injury, he was really good when he played last year. Elgton Jenkins, when he came back, was really good. their line was pretty solid. They tendered Yash Nyman to with a second round tender. He was pretty good last year. They need Josh Myers to be better. John Runyon was good. So I think you're going to see them run the ball a lot more. I think they're kind of going to become like the Titans were when he was the OC there.
Maybe that's what Big Daddy wants, run the football, man.
Yeah, I mean, Big Daddy's been screaming for it. Like, if you need any help up there, Ryan, if you need a guest on Fox, I have a guy who's in New Jersey. He happens to be named Vince Lombardi, no relation, but he is an expert on all things Green Bay Packers. So I'll text you his number if you'd like to have him on. He'll break down every draft that's ever been happened, and he's got a lot of blame to pass out, I can promise you that. He's got a lot of blame to pay. And really it starts with LaFleur. He's very angry about LaFleur really spending most of his time getting the Lambeau Field crowd excited than he is from coaching the team. That would be his biggest criticism. He has a unique nickname for LaFleur, too.
Yes, yes. Not one that's clear to FCC airways. Yeah, it's a family show here this morning on Sunday. Let's turn it forward, though. So with Rodgers, deal that we think is going to go to the New York Jets, Jordan Love's going to step in at quarterback. You talked about how Love played a lot better in that game against the Eagles this past season than he did against the Chiefs 2 years ago. Well, the betting market's a little skeptical on this team because the odds over at BetMGM to win the NFC North, the Lions, I mean, think about that. The Detroit Lions are the favorites, plus 135. Chicago Bears and Minnesota Vikings are at 3-1. Packers at plus 450. Do you think the betting market is sleeping on this Green Bay team with Love at the helm at QB?
Yes, but I don't think they're going to win the North. I don't think the Bears should be ahead of them. I don't know about the Vikings because they're getting rid of people left and right as well. What surprises me about the Lions is how good it seemed like Jamal Williams' experience was there, and then it didn't seem like they treated him great on the way out. He broke Barry Sanders' record there. In Green Bay, I was at that game, the last game of the year, when they knocked the Packers out of the playoffs. He got two touchdowns, and it was like, oh, okay. But, yeah, I don't think they're going to win the North. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I think they're probably the second or third best team.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Jamal Williams thing, they wanted a more complete back to complement Swift. And, you know, a guy scores 17 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. It's hard to ignore, right? I mean, that's, to me, the Mariano Rivera of football. You got a guy that can get the ball in the end zone. He can convert short yardage. That's what makes – that's why were the Eagles so effective? Every third and one or fourth and one, they converted with that formation that's still going to be in effect this year. But, you know, I think, Ryan, you know, when you look at the Packers – to me, the other question Big Daddy has is, how good do you think they'll be on defense without Rodgers being able to kind of control the pace of the game?
I think they need Rashawn Gary back as soon as possible because they really took a dip on the getting after the quarterback when he tore his ACL in Detroit last year. Their back end should still be fine. I'm intrigued to see what they do at safety because Darnell Savage wasn't good last year at all. Adrian Amos might leave. They still have Jair. They still have Rasul Douglas. They brought Keyshawn Nixon back, who is a dynamic special teams returner. He turned that team around. Aaron Rodgers said it was the best special teams player he's ever played with, and he was the reason the Packers made their run was Keyshawn Nixon. So that's key. Their defense will be good. I just don't know if it's going to be good enough for a team that might not outscore. Well, they didn't score that much last year either, so.
Yeah, I mean, well, with Rashawn Gary, I mean, there's never a good time to tear your ACL, but early in the season is probably about the best time as possible. Maybe he can get back for training camp because he's thought of as a potential defensive player of the year type candidate there. Absolutely. He is Ryan Wing, sports director at Fox 11 in Green Bay. Ryan, hope all is well, buddy. I'll catch up with you off the air and be good, man.
Good luck with your bets. Yes. Good luck with your bets, as always.
Yeah, hopefully your bracket's not busted. Mine's still intact, but we'll see how things shake out. We'll do Too Much Paper or Impact Player coming up next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM is offering college basketball fans a chance to pocket extra cash winnings all season long. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your college basketball parlay boost token. Then Place a college basketball parlay with a minimum of four legs using the token. If the parlay hits, you'll have your winnings boosted. New to BetMGM? Download the app and sign up now to find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. Take your shot at making a big win even bigger. Place your four-leg parlay today and boost the excitement of college basketball like never before with a college basketball parlay boost token only at BetMGM. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi hanging out here at the Circa Resort and Casino. We just had Ryan Wing on, sports director at Fox 11 in Green Bay, talking all things Green Bay Packers. Like many of the fans over there in the great state of Wisconsin, ready to turn a new page, a new chapter, Jordan Love as the quarterback for the Packers. So I'm excited. I think the Packers are being a little disrespected by the betting market. I think they are. They have too many good players, in my opinion, to be the long shot in a division where I don't think there's like a juggernaut type of team in there.
Well, I think that's right. And I think the NFC doesn't have a juggernaut. I mean, San Francisco, question marks a quarterback with Brock Purdy's health, where he's going to be. And then, you know, Philadelphia does have a quarterback. They have an offense. How good will they be next year? You assume to think that they're going to be really good because they bring a lot of their guys back. But, you know, to me, one of the things that I think gets overlooked a little bit here is how good Rodgers was, not last year particularly, in terms of protecting the football, right? Yeah. 2 years ago, I think he had like 7 interceptions. I mean, you know, so they protected the ball really well. Last year, they didn't do it as well. But when you change over offensively and you start to add different players and you put a young quarterback in, those 12 interceptions that Rodgers threw last year could increase. And that's going to put them in a tougher spot. You know, last year, they were the 17th best team in third down offense with Rodgers. How good are they going to be without him? You know, they struggle to convert fourth downs with Rodgers. So, to me, there's a lot of moving pieces. And as I said to Ryan, the hard thing to do in the NFL is too young. You don't want to be too young. And this is a very young team.
I'm looking at Aaron Rodgers' football reference page. Only 3 seasons where he's thrown double-digit interceptions.
No, he's one of the best protectors of the football. You know, the problem is there's a spillover from the personality to the player. And it affects you, you know, and you have to really do a good job of keeping that out of context, you know, because it spills into it. You know, he's so good with the football. He's smart. He kind of, the reason he wants Randall Cobb is because he trusts him. He has these players that he loves because he knows how valuable it is to protect the football. So, but you're right. Look, Detroit, everybody's on the Detroit train. Are they going to be good enough? I don't know. You know, I mean, Ben Johnson's back as the offensive coordinator. That certainly helped. Is Goff going to have the ability? Right now, Goff's the top 5 quarterback in the NFC. Who's better than him?
It's, man. I mean, you're talking about Hurts.
I mean, think about this.
Hurts is the only one that you can be like 1,000%.
Goff is better than Matthew Stafford.
Yeah. In 2023, he's better than Matthew Stafford. And think about where we were 2 years ago, and Stafford was winning the Super Bowl. I mean, like, but the injuries have piled up. And it's if you ask me right now, who would you rather have, right, Goff or Stafford? I'd take Goff.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Like, that shows how quickly things can change in the NFL. Somebody once told me it stood for not for long. I always thought it was National Football League, but, you know. Hey.
It isn't for long.
Let's talk about some impact players or maybe too much paper. Free agency week number 1 has concluded. We'll see the get a job portion of the free agency coming up this upcoming week here. But we'll start at the top here. Derek Carr kicked things off even before the new league year started because he was released by the Las Vegas Raiders. He signed with the New Orleans Saints. 4 years, $150 million is the total figure there. Obviously, you got to work into the inner workings of the contract to find out what the real money is. But is this an impact player for the Saints or maybe too much paper?
Well, I mean, look, the paper with quarterbacks is somewhat relative. I almost think you take the quarterbacks out of this. Is Dak overpaid? Yeah. You know, is Deshaun Watson overpaid? Yes. You know, is Patrick Mahomes overpaid? No.
Underpaid.
I mean, so there's very few that aren't overpaid. Is Ryan Tannehill overpaid at his number? Probably. You know, so I think Garoppolo and Carr are kind of separate. You have to have that in your team. Mm-hmm. And the interesting fact about Carr going there is they've got some really good skill players. You know, they add Jamal Williams, which I think makes Kamara even better.
Yeah.
Their offensive line is really good. And Pete Carmichael, their offensive coordinator, is going to run a West Coast offense, which Carr ran when John Gruden was here. It's a little bit what he's more comfortable with. I think the key is going to be is how he adapts to the pressure and handling the situation down there. You know, that division now, let's be clear. I mean, Carolina, defensively, if they can add one more defensive front guy, front seven guy, depending on whoever they get at their quarterback. Andy Dalton didn't play bad last year. He really wasn't a bad player. Other than that Arizona game where he was turning it over, he played fairly well. And so we know Carolina's struggles at quarterback. Atlanta, where are they? And I think Tampa's going to be a disaster. So I think Carr's in a really good spot.
Yeah, the Saints, they are the favorites to win the NFC South for good reason there. Olave, I think he's going to make another jump as a wide receiver in his second year.
They're good. And if they can get anything out of Michael Thomas, yeah. I mean, you know, this is an interesting team. They kept their offensive line intact. And again, when you have that 1-2 combination, when you have a weapon like Kamara, and then you bring Williams in to be the closer in the goal line, it really makes you a powerful team.
Well, let's talk about Mike McGlinchey.
Yeah,
this is one offensive I didn't tackle like. For the Denver Broncos.
This is one I didn't like at all. I just think, to me, he's well overpaid. I mean, he's not a shutdown right tackle. I don't care what PFF says and, you know, all that. When you watch the tape, you know, it's really clear that he struggles in a drop-back pass game. And I think more than anything, when you just follow the rhythms and the beats, right? The 49ers, well, they can't afford McGlinchey. Oh, they can? They just gave Hargrave all this money. So, like, they made a choice. They would rather have Hargrave than McGlinchey. That tells you something. That tells you a lot. And I think McGlinchey, will he be a good player? Yeah, I mean, he's a good player, but is he worth that number? No, not at all. But, you know, the Broncos don't have any draft picks, so they're going to end up paying for that. Now, who's going to play right tackle for San Francisco? That becomes the question. You know, they'll find some guy. They drafted this McQuivitz kid in the fifth round, so they'll play him there or they'll draft somebody else this year. The one thing I do know is they're able to develop offensive linemen, and that helps out from having to pay a guy like McGlinchey what he got.
You talked about Hargrave, impact player for the Niners.
Loved it. Oh, yeah. I think because he's going to be able to rotate with Arpstead, Kinlaw, you know, they've got this Kevin Givens kid they bring in there. They've got a bunch of T.Y. McGill. They got a bunch of guys they rotate, and they're really well coached up front. Yeah, I think Hargrave's going to be 12.5 sacks last year, Femi. I mean, he was the best defensive front seven player. I know Hassan Riddick got a lot of things, but it's really hard for a defensive tackle to get sacks. It's hard. They're usually double-teamed. They slide the protection to you. It's very challenging. He was really good.
Yeah, I think Hargrave being disruptive, that made Reddick's job easier.
Much easier.
Because he didn't have to work back. He could just run the arc there and get the quarterback. Jawan Taylor signed with the Kansas City Chiefs there.
I like this. Yeah, I mean, I think to me this one is are they going to play him at left tackle? Probably will.
He's getting paid like he's going to play left tackle.
Exactly. And I thought they did a smart thing. I give Andy Reid credit. I never was on the Orlando Brown train when they traded for him because I thought Orlando Brown's foot quickness was going to be a problem in a straight dropback pass game. I think Orlando Brown needs to be in a run action pass game where he can use his lack of foot speed, his lack of true pass blocking skills shows up, where I think Taylor gives them a legitimate left tackle. So I think what they decided was, look, we're not going to pay Orlando Brown $20 million a year. That's what he wanted. He ended up settling for $16 million. He's better than Jawan Williams over there at Cincinnati at left tackle.
Jonah Williams.
He's better than him, so he gives them a chance. I think, you know, so at $16 million, it's a better deal. And they pay Taylor. Look, one thing about the Chiefs, they've done a good job of putting money where they're in that offensive line. They're not going to let Mahomes take a beating.
Yeah, I mean, they saw that Super Bowl against the Bucs, and they said, never again.
Never again.
Never again with
that. The one on this list here that Elliott has is Jesse Bates to me. Like, I just never felt like I think Von Bell was a good player. Mm-hmm. You know, he got paid some money. But when you look at Jesse Bates and you see all the, you know, I mean, when you watch him, he for 8 passes defended, I have a hard time understanding how you pay $16 million a year. I know he had 4 interceptions, but a lot of that is just, to me, you know, he's in the right, the ball's overthrown and he picks. I don't see the impact a safety can make on the game today to pay that kind of money.
Yeah, he got a big deal from the Atlanta Falcons after playing on the tag with the Bengals this past season there. So Cincinnati have to shore some things up on that back end, losing both of those safeties. But they did draft Dax Hill out of Michigan. I'd assume he's going to take over one of those roles, and then they'll fill in the blanks there. Lou Anarumo, he figures out ways to get things done.
He's going to need to get that safety situation figured out.
We start hour number two with our friend Daniel Alvari joining us in studio, talking the men's and the women's NCAA basketball tournaments.